Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Daniel, be careful what you say. Everything's being recorded.
I noticed.
Listen, it's lovely to talk to you. I was going to say, on the back of your Celtic adventures, which we chatted about before when you were doing them, you had a great time in Ireland, didn't you?
An amazing time. It was just incredible. You know, it's the story that I always wanted to tell. I knew it was there. I knew it was deep down. But actually going to Ireland, playing there, filming there, recording there, meeting the people, playing the music, it changed my life.
And you see, people need to be reminded about it's your paternal great-great-grandfather, am I right? Is it, or is it further back?
My great-grandfather, Daniel McKenna.
Daniel McKenna from Wexford.
From Waterford.
Oh, from Waterford, even. Well, it's right next door. That'll do. But your fascination, did your fascination with him start with your family, or was it just you were curious about your roots? What was the beginning of that? That brought us to this beautiful album, by the way.
The beginning was really my grandma, you know, his daughter who grew up in South Africa, who would talk about him and Ireland all the time, as did my dad, who knew his grandfather growing up on the farm. And Daniel McKenna left Ireland when he was a teenager, and he went to South Africa at the end of the 19th century and stayed there. And he always would tell the stories of Waterford and of Ireland and of Irish music, and he would sing and dance. And that went from generation to generation. So I grew up with these stories told by my great aunt, by my grandma, by my dad. And so it was always there. I always felt it. But over the years, I started to wonder what would it be like to actually go and, you know, try and find his footsteps, see if there's anything left. And that was the film that we first did for Arte back 3 years ago. That was the beginning of it. And we found his house, a tiny little house. And then going out of the house, down on the same street, I saw a plaque for the Flanagan brothers who lived in the same street. And that's what really gave me the impetus to keep going and eventually to sit down and make an album.
Well, it's an absolute joy. By the way, for anyone who's curious, but it's called Irish Roots, and you ended up working with this great bunch of people, particularly in our case, James and Jeannie Galway, who we're hugely fond of. What a gorgeous couple! Was that fun? Did you enjoy that? That's Danny Boy, isn't it?
Oh, it's Danny Boy, and I've loved both of them for so many years. And Jimmy, for me, was, you know, he was an absolute idol. I met him for the first time in the 90s in New York, and we've always been in touch. And we became really good friends, both him and Jeannie, in the last sort of 10 years. And then during the pandemic, when I did this series called Hope at Home, and we were allowed to leave Berlin, and we went to Zurich, and we did an episode in a kind of a disused factory in Zurich, and I rang him up and said, would you come and play? And he said, only if you play Danny Boy with me. So we did. And recorded it. And that's, in fact, that's the track that's on the album. There were only two or three tracks that came from that time. Everything else is new. Yeah. But it was such a moving experience to play with him during that time. We wanted to go on the album.
He's an absolute gent. We had a big concert for Lyric FM, for our station, and he was himself and his lady wife were the guest stars, and they were tremendous. He's such a lovely man, and we interviewed him. Remember his book, his autobiography, The Man with the Golden Flute. Talk to me about a title. He's quite something. He's quite something. But let's play it. This is Danny Boy. Here it is now. I'm chatting with Daniel Hope. Irish Roots is his current album, which we had as a Marty Recommends. I don't know if that sold you any copies, but we did our best.
I appreciate it, Marty.
We try. Listen, there's a great track on the album too called Lady Step Up to Tea. What's that about? It's great fun.
That's an old Carolan tune, and that was really part of the amazing collaboration with Lunasa. You know, I met Lunasa for the first time about 15 years ago. They came to my film, and we've always stayed in touch. And every time we saw each other, they said, next time, you're going to come and play with us. And this went on and on and on, and I was just too nervous to get up with those lads. And then eventually they said, right, you're not getting out of it this time. And so we started to play together, and I fell in love with the way they play, with the music. They were so generous, letting in, you know, an amateur into their ranks. And when we met last summer, we played a number of different concerts, and we started working up new pieces. And they suggested this tune, which I absolutely love. And we got it together for the recording. And then to go into Windmill Lane Studios with them and record, it was just a dream come true.
And you see, I think music like that, it's free-flowing. It just seems like a natural thing, doesn't it? And it's fun.
It's unbelievably fun. But also, you know, these are tunes that these guys have been playing, you know, for 20, 30 years.
Yes.
And then they let me into the picture, and obviously that brings something different to it on both sides. So they had to kind of find a way of accepting what I was trying to do, and I had to try and find a way of, you know, not messing them up completely.
Oh, good way.
It was such fun, and it was a real inspiration on both sides.
Well, I'm glad, but it's a real boon. I want to play it in a minute. By the way, before I play it, early on this morning on the radio show, we were playing Escape to Hollywood. You know the album that you did with the Royal, is it Stockholm Philharmonic?
Royal Stockholm Phil, yes.
And we played Cinema Paradiso. It's a great version, and I say this because as a Morricone maniac here, me, I didn't think anybody else could do it close to the original, but it's a beautiful take on it. I just want to compliment you, that's all. I just want to say it.
I adore Morricone's music, and, you know, he's totally unique. And he was also, I was lucky to meet him a couple of times. He was an incredibly nice guy, just very charming, and again, a real inspiration. And I think that piece in particular, you know, it, so many associations with it. When people hear it, they think of the movie or they think of other things that are connected to it. And that melody is just magic.
But it's like a soundtrack to a love story. It's just beautiful. Anyway, that's not Lady Step Up to Tea, and it's not on Irish Roots. So let's have a listen to that. I'm chatting here with Daniel Hope, who is in Germany, and we're here, obviously. Daniel, we talked about Ennio Morricone, and that's fine. However, explain to me what, on an album called Irish Roots, Vivaldi is doing. And this better be good.
I'm glad you asked me this.
I'm not surprised you are. I'm not surprised you're not surprised.
So I started doing a lot of research about the music that was played in Dublin in the 17th and 18th century. And through that, I discovered composers I'd never heard of. People like Kusser, the violinist Matthew Dubourg. There was Thomas Rosengrave. These were all kind of masters of the Irish music, as they were called. And they were all connected to the Central European craze for music. And then I found a dissertation about the most famous piece of music in Dublin in the middle of the 19th and 18th century. And that was a piece by Vivaldi called Mr. Vivaldi's Number 5. It was his double concerto in A major for two violins. And it was so famous that it was played at every single concert. It was even played during theatre productions when the curtain was going up and down. It was the craze of Dublin was this piece. And it was Matthew Dubourg, who was the violinist, who actually introduced it. He was the violinist who led the orchestra under Handel in 1742 when The Messiah was played in Dublin. And then we looked around and we found a version of one of Vivaldi's concertos, a slip jig, which only exists in this one version in Trinity College in Dublin in the archives. So it means that Vivaldi himself wasn't in Dublin, but his music, of course, was. It was celebrated, it was danced to, it was the music of the day. And because that piece particularly was the most famous piece, we decided to put it on the album.
I believe everything you've just told me. Of course I do. Because it's just, you'd be saying to people, oh, it's a great album, Irish Roots, Daniel Hope, he's terrific. You'll particularly like the Vivaldi. So it's moments like that you're just trying to play with. Listen, it's been lovely talking to you. Any chance of you coming to play a concert with us in Ireland in the future? Any hope of that at all, Daniel?
You know, if someone asks me, I'll be there like a shot.
We know
people. I would
people.
Just adore it.
We know
I would
people.
Love to.
Yeah, they mightn't have big pockets, but they'd mean well. But it'd be lovely to see you. It'd be lovely to see
I'd
you.
I'd be so happy to play
stage.
That.
On a stage would be lovely. Well, look, we have the Concerto Number 5 in A major from Vivaldi, the well-known Irish composer, to finish. And thank you so much for talking to us today. It's always been a joy. And
thank you, Marty.
I've enjoyed your time in Ireland. That's a big deal, too, because that documentary, Celtic Dreams, it matters, you know, that you're seen to have a good time with us travelling the country and, you know, going around Kilkenny and whatever. It's a very important piece of film and does us, as the fellas said, no harm at all. So thank you for that too.
It's a pleasure. Lovely to talk to you, Marty. All the best.
Pleasure, Daniel. Take care.